WTRC FM HD3, W277 DT Hartford, WSNG Torrington, WMMW Meredith, the talk of Connecticut.
He was the center of attention. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Mike Bloomberg in his first Democratic presidential debates.
We're not going to throw out capitalism. We tried that. Other countries tried that. It was called communism, and it just didn't work.
Bernie Sanders fired back.
Democratic socialism, not communism, Mr. Bloomberg. That's the cheap shot.
Pete Buttigieg took a swipe at both.
Let's put forward somebody who's actually a Democrat.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal's live where it happened days before the Nevada caucuses, Las Vegas.
Dave, it was Mike Bloomberg's fight. As the candidates piled on, Elizabeth Warren called him out quickly on stop and frisk and his comments about women and settlement agreements with women who've sued him and his company before. An NBC moderator brought up Bernie Sanders' prior comment that billionaires shouldn't exist.
The best-known socialist in the country happens to be a millionaire with three houses. What did I miss here?
Much of the attacking was driven by Elizabeth Warren.
Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
Warren's campaign said after the first half of the night, she had the best hour of fundraising ever, Dave.
And Jessica, while Democrats were debating, President Trump was rallying in Arizona.
They hate the fact that we're winning. We're winning big. We're winning, winning, winning.
A longtime Trump associate will be sentenced today, Roger Stone, who got caught up in the Russia probe.
Stone was convicted on 7 counts of obstruction, witness tampering, and making false statements to Congress. All 4 federal prosecutors withdrew from the case following a reversal by the Department of Justice on Stone's sentencing recommendation.
Fox's John Decker, the president, called the 9-year initial recommendation ridiculous. The DOJ intervention led to calls for Attorney General Bill Barr to resign. Now, in Germany, a mass murder, guy went on a shooting spree near Frankfurt, killing 9 people. Police later found the gunman and his mother dead, and they reportedly found a letter and video of him expressing extremist views, prompting Germany's leader to say racism and hatred are poison. America's listening to Fox News.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
There are nearly 400 new coronavirus cases reported in China. That's the lowest number in recent days, but 114 more people have died. So it's now over 2,100 corona deaths, including 2 in Japan, where among the more than 600 cruise ship passengers who got sick with the virus, both of them were elderly in their 80s. More passengers may get off that ship today. Some left yesterday. The quarantine over. Now, 300 Americans who got off that ship earlier this week and were flown back to the U.S. are in quarantine, at least 14 hospitalized with the virus. Doctors have tried different treatments for corona, and the researchers at the University of Texas at Austin are reporting a possible breakthrough working on a vaccine.
The molecule would help train our immune system to recognize the virus if we ever encounter it in the future.
Dr. Jason McClellan says it typically takes a decade or two to create a viable vaccine. In this case, they hope to have one in 24 months. Day 3 soon in the deliberations for a jury in New York City in the case against ex-Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein.
The 7-man, 5-woman jury was sent home Wednesday after a readback of the testimony of actress Rosie Perez. That was the request in the 5th note sent to the judge during this deliberation. The jury also wanted another look at an email exchange between Weinstein and one of his accusers. The jury is deciding on 5 counts against Weinstein that allege rape and predatory sexual assault on 2 primary accusers. The incidents occurred in 2006 and 2013. Convictions could send Weinstein to prison for the rest of his life. In New York, Gernal Scott, Fox News.
There's a big deal going on around Wall Street. Morgan Stanley wants to buy E-Trade in a $13 billion deal. And on Wall Street now, the stock futures are down modestly ahead of today's trading. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Here's your On This Date update for February 20th. Two very different but important inventions were patented today in 1872. One was for the first machine to make square bottom paper bags, and the other, the first machine for manufacturing toothpicks. And on this date in 1962,
it's Godspeed, John Glenn.
John Glenn became the first American to orbit the Earth as NASA successfully launched Friendship 7. Born on this date, photographer Ansel Adams, race car drivers Bobby Unser and Enzo Ferrari, and rocker Kurt Cobain. I'm Mitch Davis, and that's your On This Date update.
Sunday on the Talk of Connecticut, start with the Big D.
Your favorite oldies from the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Then tune in all weekend long for the best talk.
The Garden Show.
If you notice any webbing on the top of a plant, you have spider mites.
Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
I would strongly consider thyroid replacement for somebody with a TSH of 3.6.
And the Car Doctor.
The downside of a ceramic head is when it's cold, it doesn't work as well.
The Talk of Connecticut. Weekends, Big D in the morning. And the best talk all day long.
In Cromwell, an overturned vehicle, I-91 northbound between exit 22 and 23. Two lanes are blocked. It stopped traffic from exit 19. Another accident in Farmington, I-84 eastbound near exit 39. The shoulder is blocked. It's stop-and-go traffic from exit 37. Stop-and-go I-84 eastbound exit 39 to 44. I-84 westbound exit 56 to 47. I'm Eddie Schaefer, Time Saver Traffic.
Cloudy and cold today, only getting into the low 30s and possibly dipping down into the teens. Right now it's 26 degrees in Meriden.
The Brad Davis Radio Program with Gary Byron, AM 1360, 610, 1470, and FM 103.3. We are the Talk of Connecticut.
Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing.
Minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, good morning. It's Gary Byron still here with you, as I am each and every weekday morning from 6 until 9, right here on these airwaves. Thanks so much for allowing me to be a part of your morning. It really, truly means so much to me. Connecticut's farm wineries don't want companies coming into Connecticut to open up wineries where they can make wine with grapes from other states or even other countries. Over at the legislative office building, there's a press conference, and an association representing the farm wineries said sweeping liquor reform passed last year will allow companies to open up a winery without a vineyard and sell their wine directly to consumers if they make less than 100,000 gallons per year. A permit to run a business like this won't be available, though, until July 1st.
Connecticut Vineyard and Winery Association President Jonathan Edwards said the law has unintended consequences and could threaten the future of Connecticut farmers who have invested millions of dollars to create a thriving industry. Edwards said that they don't have any specific data to share that shows that this new wine permit would be detrimental to their business, but he said he has to assume that any new business allowed to make and sell 100,000 gallons, which is about, by the way, 40,000 cases of wine, is a huge winery. He said if 10 of those open, that's 400,000 cases of wine or 1 million more gallons of wine in the state. That is going to have a devastating impact on farm wineries. Well, listen, I said this earlier. I had I used to have the passport. I used to go to wineries. I used to hop from one winery to another. I think I went to almost all of them in the state. I probably haven't gone, though, in about 3 years. But let me tell you, I used to go religiously. I have my favorites. Nevertheless, to discuss this a little bit, this is actually more serious than what you think it is, House Deputy Minority Leader Vinny Candelora. Vinny, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you this morning?
I'm hanging in there. I actually just got done with a public hearing that went all night, so brain is a little scrambled.
It means everything that you decided to join us this morning after all that. So you were in Public Health Committee, huh?
That's right, yeah.
And it finally wrapped up?
It did. We just finished.
So were you there since yesterday at 10:30 in the morning?
Correct. It went about 21 hours, so I think that set a record.
My goodness. We just had Len Fasano on. He said there were still 90 more people to. They could have been 90 more to sign up, and that doesn't mean that they were still there.
There probably was, but most of them went home.
Oh my goodness! You think that bill's just going to end up dying then, or just?
I don't know. It's very clear. It's a very complicated issue. It's dealing with religious freedoms, right to a public education, parent-child relationship, doctor-patient relationship. It's a lot to sort out.
Yeah, and it's a short session. That may die a death. It may have a death this session. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to speculate, but
right. You know. We'll see.
So listen, we're talking about these wineries. This is significant. This is an interesting piece of legislation here, huh?
Yeah, it's sort of a sea change. You know, back in the 70s, we passed the Farm Winery Bill to give farmers the ability to save agricultural land. And so it was for allowing them to grow grapes and produce wine. And also, if they wanted to grow hops, they can produce beer. And what happened last year in this omnibus bill, there was an extension to create this this wine manufacturing provision that would allow for a company to set up shop, you know, produce grapes and sell direct to package stores. So it does end up competing with this whole notion of having our farm wineries sort of be a destination place, but also preserve our open space, our agricultural land. And the problem is that it's a lot more difficult to farm the land in Connecticut and grow grapes versus just shipping them in from California.
Right.
So we want to take a look at this law to make sure it doesn't squeeze out our agricultural product, no pun intended.
Hey, well, looking at the bill, it actually looks like it would do that, though.
Yeah, it potentially would, because it's an easy pathway to create a business to just produce wine and sell it and have no grow requirement, where our agriculture industry has that grow requirement to it, which makes their wine a little bit more expensive and a little bit more difficult to produce. So we're just asking the General Law Committee to take a look at this again and make sure we don't eliminate a very vibrant tourist industry in our state.
Right. You know, when I think about going to wineries, and I was just saying in the lead-in to this interview, I was like, you know, I've been to many wineries. I haven't gone in a couple of years, but I used to have that passport, and I think I went to almost every winery on there. It's bizarre to think of a winery without a vineyard, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, so there's a couple issues with it. You know, number one, it potentially is crowding out the farm wineries.
Yeah.
But it also begins to compete with all of our other you know, the package stores and the distributors of other wine product, because these manufacturers could go into direct competition and direct sell in Connecticut, which is not something that's allowed for other businesses that manufacture wine. So, you know, that 40,000 cases is a lot. And so they're going to compete with the entire wine market in Connecticut.
Yeah, and that's not fair. As it is, what is it? 15% of the grapes in Connecticut is the what it takes for a bottle of wine to be labeled from Connecticut. Is that what?
I think it's 25.
Oh, 25%. Okay, all right.
That's right.
So as it is, it's not even 100% Connecticut grapes when you're drinking Connecticut wine. It's 25% Connecticut grapes.
Well, yeah, for the farm wineries, it's 25% has to be grown in Connecticut. For a wine manufacturer, it doesn't need to be any. So I would guess you can make wine and label it Hartford wine. You know, even though the grapes could be from California or Italy.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that. That's mislabeling. That's inaccurate information. There's no truth to it.
Well, I mean, it could be clever advertising, whatever the business is named. And I think the point being, is this a market that we really wanted to develop at the expense of our existing markets? You know, Connecticut hasn't grown a lot of jobs in the last 10 years, but we're up to 40 vineyards. In my district alone, we had two vineyards open up in the last few years. So it is an industry that's done well for us. From a jobs perspective, from a tourism perspective, and for preserving agricultural land. And so we want to make sure that we are continuing to foster that growth rather than, you know, snuffing it out by allowing this competition to come in. I'm not sure, you know, what advantage it is for Connecticut to allow this type of business enterprise.
Well, the advantage would be more revenue.
It could be, but my guess is it would just crowd out other. You know, we're not going to sell more wine necessarily.
No, but the piece of the pie gets smaller, and the vineyards that have been playing by the rules all this time are the ones that are going to get squeezed out. They're the ones that are ethical and playing by the rules. You know.
Yeah, I mean they're invested a lot of money. They're not going to see their investment for years to come. They have to grow the grapes, and the vines have to mature. And the legislature came in and changed the rules last year. And it's part of the problem in the state of Connecticut. When you're running a business, you need that stability. You can't keep changing the rules. And people think it's no big deal. But when you grow a vineyard, you know, it's a 20-year projection. And we've now upset that apple cart. And it's just, to me, it's unconscionable, and we need to fix it.
So is this bill getting a public hearing?
We're not sure. We're trying. The Environment Committee may take it up through their jurisdiction over agriculture. We're hoping General Law might take it up. So one of the two committees, I think, will be addressing that issue.
Yeah, I would imagine you're going to hear from a lot of the longtime Connecticut, you know, wineries. You know, they've paid their taxes. They've been supporting, creating jobs and tourism, supporting tourism, and been playing by the rules all this time. And you can't bite the hand that feeds you in exchange for an unknown entity that wants to just kind of come in and usurp the existing wineries. You know,
well, that's right. I'm not sure what. You know, industry they're really helping. I'm not sure who really asked for it. So, you know, it's part of the conversation that we need to have.
Yeah, I would imagine you'd have a lot of representatives from the wineries come up for a public hearing like that. And before we, one more question before I let you go. This is actually a pretty serious thing. Does it have a lot of legs? Well, we talked about public hearings. It may or may not have one, but I mean, do you think it has the potential to make it through this short legislative session this year?
Well, it has bipartisan concern.
Okay.
So that's one thing where it might move. The effective date on the legislation for this new change isn't till July 1st, 2020.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So it's easier to put a hold on it and rather than let the law go into effect and then you're scrambling after the fact, let's put a hold on it, no harm, you know, no foul, and take a look and assess what this law really would do and what the impacts would be. So at the very least, I would hope we could delay the implementation by a year.
Yeah, I'm. You know, listen, I know it's commerce and it's potential revenue. It's but the piece of the pie, it can only hold so much. And why are we That's rewarding right. these people? I favor of the longtime Connecticut wineries have been playing by the rules all this time, and they've been institutions and a part of our tourism, have contributed to our economy by hiring people. That's what we should be promoting rather than these out-of-staters who want a piece of our pie that and they're not willing to call themselves what they really are, and that is grapes that are grown out of state and mislabeling and therefore ultimately misrepresenting, purposely misrepresenting their own wine to the citizens of our state.
Yeah, they could be. That's right. And so we do want to promote our current agricultural industry.
All right. Thank you so much. We're going to keep our eyes on this and monitor it. Thanks so much for being with us.
Anytime.
Much appreciated. It's always a pleasure. I miss you guys.
I know. I miss you, too.
Oh, thanks so much. That is Deputy House Minority Leader Vinny Candelore. Great guy, by the way. It's 20 minutes after the hour of 8. Got to take a quick break. We're coming back with open phones at 888-574-2723 when we come back.
Local issues, local talk. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9. The Brad Davis Radio Program on the Talk of Connecticut.
The following testimonial is provided by the Catholic Cemeteries Association of the Archdiocese of Hartford.
Thing with death, none of us look forward to it, and it's not a happy time. But if you plan ahead, and like we did, and purchase things ahead of time, it makes it much more bearable, because when we were going through our grief, the last thing I would have wanted to do was go walk a cemetery to find the appropriate place to bury our child. And having made that decision ahead of time, it made it that much easier. And when you think about your own mortality, you don't want to put that on your loved ones to have to decide where you may want to be or where you may be comfortable. So if you make those plans ahead of time, it makes the grieving process a little bit easier and takes a little bit of weight off the people that are making that decision.
Yeah, a lot more bearable for the people who survive you.
Attend a Dignity of Life seminar to begin your end-of-life planning. Call 1-800-505-0080.
Fox on 10.
There's a new weapon to help you fight robocalls, an app called Do Not Pay.
So what it does is it registers you for something called the Do Not Call list. And this means that whenever one of these people calls you, it's illegal. When they call you, you can then sue them, and the app will generate all of the paperwork and file the paperwork to get up to $3,000 cash compensation per call.
App creator Joshua Browder in an interview with the Fox Business Network. He has a team of lawyers that will help generate the paperwork for you to file a case.
We do. We have lawyers help us create these documents.
As for tracking down the robocallers, the app provides you with a burner credit card so they can find out who they are.
So Do Not Pay will give you a burner credit card issued in our name, and then you can get all their details to start the process.
The app has been successful, and the robocallers are cooperating.
One of the most interesting things is the robocallers actually want to settle because they don't want this becoming public record in a courtroom.
With Fox on Tech, Brett Larson, Fox News.
This is Fox on Justice. The courts are asked to get involved in pronoun disputes. Red Washburn is a professor of English and Women and Gender Studies at Kingsborough Community College in New York. Washburn is transgender and wishes to be referred to with the pronouns they or them. Washburn is suing in federal court, alleging school officials and colleagues use she and her and Amy, the name Washburn used before coming out as transgender. And also the school eliminated the gender studies curriculum. Washburn claims a hostile environment. In Portsmouth, Ohio, another college professor sued Shawnee State University for a different reason. Nicholas Merriweather claims he was reprimanded and given a written warning because he refused to use the requested pronouns when speaking to a transgender student. Merriweather said doing so would contradict his Christian beliefs and violate his rights of freedom of speech and religion. A judge dismissed that suit. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
In Cromwell, an overturned vehicle, I-91 northbound between exit 22 and 23. Two lanes are blocked. It stopped traffic from exit 19. Another accident in Farmington, I-84 eastbound near exit 39. The shoulder is blocked. It's stop-and-go traffic from exit 37. Stop-and-go I-84 eastbound exit 39 to 44. I-84 westbound exit 56 to 47. I'm Eddie Schaefer, Time Saver Traffic.
It's going to be a cloudy and cold day today, only getting into the low 30s and possibly dipping down into the teens. Right now, it is 29 degrees in Middletown.
The Brad Davis Radio Program with Gary Byron, AM 1360, 610, 1470, and FM 103.3. We are the talk of Connecticut.
I jumped into my ride and it hits the road. Down to the nightclub. Ooh, ooh. When we ride, you say ready. The nightclub. We go bop to bop to bop.
Bump City, Tower of Power. Ah, one of my favorite, all-time favorite bands. You ever see Tower of Power? Great horn. This is a band, they don't put the horn section up on a podium or up on a, you know, up on a riser in the back of the stage. They are front and center, very similar to Chicago, except the horn section has got like six people in it. That's their focal point. Great band if you ever get a chance to see them. 8:25 now. Good morning to you, Newsmax TV. Now listen, I've been talking about this new cable channel that I watch. It's really taken off too. People are tired of Fox, CNN, MSNBC. Newsmax TV is fresh. And it has great shows. Chris Salcedo is really good. He's out at 5 p.m. Then at 7 p.m., Greg Kelly Reports airs. It's really hard hitting. And Sean Spicer, you remember President Trump's original press secretary, is starting a new show this March on Newsmax TV, Spicer and Company. Will give you the real news from Washington. No spin, no BS. No surprise then, Newsmax TV ratings are up 200%. It's on all major systems. DirecTV, channel 349. Dish on channel 216. Cox Cable, high definition, 1068 or standard definition, channel 68. Xfinity TV, channel 1115, Optimum TV, channel 102, and Orbi TV, channel 308. Check your cable guide. And also get the special invite and information on Sean Spicer's brand new show. All you got to do is just text the word Spicer to 39747. Once again, Spicer to 39747. That's 39747. I watch Newsmax TV. You should too. All right. So, we've been giving away tickets all week long to go check out the Happy Together Tour 2020. It's being held over at the Toyota Oakdale Theater on July 30th this summer. It's something to look forward to. By the way, the Oakdale. There's not a bad seat in that house. There really isn't. Let me tell you something. I once got tickets to, I thought the show was already sold out. I didn't even know it was a concert. I didn't even know it was even coming. I think I heard about it. This is a few years ago. I think I'd heard about it in the 11th hour. I think the concert was like the next day. And I went and bought two tickets and, you know, they were probably the least desirable tickets. But the seats were phenomenal. There's not a bad seat in that house. I really got to hand it to them, the people who designed it. I remember the Oakdale used to be in the Round. Remember that? It was like a wood barn. This is going back a long time. I know. By the way, this Happy Together 2020 tour at the Toyota Oakdale Theater on July 30th. It features the Turtles, hence the name Happy Together, I would imagine. The Association. Chuck Negron, he was one of the lead singers of Three Dog Night. Actually, they all had hit singles. They had three singers, hence the name Three Dog Night. But he sang most of their hits. Mark Lindsay, he is or was the lead singer of Paul Revere and the Raiders. He's going to be there. Remember Cherokee People? That was a big hit that they did. The Vogues, the Cowsills. This is a huge night. If you like 60s rock and roll, late 60s rock and roll, early 70s rock and roll. So listen, we got to take a quick break. This is what we're going to do after the break. We're going to play a movie sound bit. Okay, it's a little clip, just a few seconds long. And what I'll need to know is the name of the actor or actress that you, and also the movie that the sound clip is from. So it's a kind of a dual You're getting two tickets. So, hey, what do you want? You're going to have a pair of tickets. You got to answer two questions. But it's about the same clip. Who's the actor? And what movie is the clip from? All right, so we're going to do that. In the meantime, 8:30 right now. My goodness, where does the time go? We also got to open up the phones. There's still a lot we've got to get to.